Once again this evening, and if you'd like to turn with me, I'll be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. I ask that you would pray for me. My mind's been stirred up a little bit, and I think part of it is just based on some things that I've been going through trying to pastor the church down in Crestview, and things that I see as important. And we'll go ahead and read 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Paul writes, "To study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We're living in a time where there should be a great emphasis and a great importance placed on the truth. And some of my experiences back home, I'll share with you. You know, as a pastor and as you try to pastor a church and live in a community, you meet a lot of different people, and you have the usual things that come along as trying to serve a church and trying to preach the gospel as the Lord leads. And, you know, one of the greatest battles back home right now aren't battles with other people about the truth, but I believe the greatest battle that we have today is a battle with the indifference towards truth. Back home, one of the greatest struggles that I'm having is an indifference towards the truth amongst many of the Lord's people, and there are many churches that are springing up, and they're filling up the church houses playing upon that, not putting an emphasis or an importance upon the truth. You may have heard of some of these seeker-friendly churches, some of the churches that you ask them what they believe and they really can't tell you. You know, the popular book today, The Purpose-Driven Church, The Purpose-Driven Life. A lot of churches are setting themselves up as upholders of morality, yet they don't have any doctrinal truths. They don't have any set beliefs from the Word of God. And I'm thankful for anybody that desires to live a godly and a moral life, but when we divorce our morals from the doctrine of this Word of God, we're going to go along a path that's not going to end up good. You're not going to have true morality unless it's grounded upon this Word of God. This is the foundation of our morality. So, as I said before, I'm thankful for people that want to live moral lives, but we have to have the truth of the Word of God if our morals are going to be sure, if our morals are going to last. And we need the truth as God's people, and I'm fearful because, like I said, some of my own experiences, I see primitive Baptists that aren't putting an emphasis on the truth as they ought to. I see it amongst our own people. And, you know, I believe a lot of it is just the climate that we're living in today. You know, you send your kids off to college and they're taught a moral relativism, that there's not really a right and wrong, and if you stand up for a definite truth, then you're the bad guy, and the good guys are the people who don't have any set morals or set doctrines that they believe. But as the older minister Paul was teaching the younger minister Timothy, he instructed him to study the Word of God. He says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And what I want to try to talk about this evening, with the Lord being our helper, is the Word. And I tell you, I'm thankful for godly ministers. I'm thankful for some of the ministers here that I've had the opportunity to hear as I'm growing up, and I think of Brother Lonnie Mazingo Jr. and his dad, and I remember probably some 12 or 13 years ago, Brother Lonnie over at McClenny Church preaching about the Word of God, and he did me a real good favor that day, because the Bible does teach that there are different words of God in the Scriptures, and we need to rightly divide that to understand the words of God, because sometimes people get the wrong word of God and put it in a different place and it confuses everything. So what I want to do as we look at rightly dividing the word of truth this evening is I want us to think about just a few minutes the words in the Bible. Well, first of all, I want us to understand that Jesus Christ is taught in the Bible as the Word. We go to John chapter 1 for just a minute, and we read something very interesting about our Lord. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 2 says, "The same was in the beginning with God." And Elder Hunt spoke a little bit about this morning, but I want you to know that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one that redeemed us from our sins, the Bible says that He is the Word of God. You know, isn't it a blessing to think that He is the Word? He is the living Word. You know, we go back to Genesis chapter 1 and we have it echoed in there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you know that Jesus Christ was there in the beginning? He was there when the worlds were framed. He was there. Throughout the history of our existence, Christ has been there. He just did not come on the scene back in the Gospels. He was always there. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. So I want you to understand this evening that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He is the true and the living Word. Bible, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Who is that Word? Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to also understand that the Bible, when it speaks about words, there are also other words. I think about the written Word of God. We have this Bible that God has blessed and kept throughout the ages for us to have an understanding about Him. 2 Peter chapter 1, we read about the written Word of God. The Apostle Peter speaks about us having a more sure word of prophecy. Well, in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says in verse 19, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, that as a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." He goes on and says, "Knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." And he says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So we have the living Word, Jesus Christ. Now we have the written Word. This prophecy that God inspired men of old time to write was given to us. It was given to us for our understanding and our instruction. And we're not to take that for granted. He didn't give us this Bible to decorate our coffee table. He didn't give it to us as a group of suggestions that we may or may not follow. He didn't give it to us to just pick and choose what we want to believe. He's given us this instruction that we are to follow and live our lives in a way that's honoring unto Him. So we have the living Word, Jesus Christ, the written Word, this Bible, these Scriptures, and I believe we also have the preached Word. You go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the Word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." You know, those today that say doctrine don't matter, they're going directly against the inspiration of the Scriptures. The Bible says we're to, as preachers, preach the Word. Not to preach philosophy, not to come up here and give 3 points in a poem and be done with things. Preach the truth. Preach the Word of God. And what does that involve? It involves reproving, rebuking, exhorting with all longsuffering and doctrine. What do you have a lot of times when people go to these places that don't uphold the doctrine? They're going because they're not being held accountable to anything. Well, the Scriptures, when they're preached by demonstration and power of the Spirit and preached in truth, it will hold people accountable. And Paul tells Timothy to be bold and preach this truth. So we have the living Word, Jesus Christ. We have the written Word. We have these Scriptures that God has preserved and kept for us. We have the preached Word that God blesses His ministers to preach. Now, as we rightly divide the Word of truth as God's people, we need to get each one in their right place. You know, sometimes people will put try to reverse the preached Word with the living Word and say, well, it's this gospel that gives life to people. It's this gospel that we need to get out to everyone. I had a telephone conversation last week back at Palm Chapel. I was working in the office and a fella called me on the telephone, which isn't unusual, and started asking me about the church and what we believe. And I started explaining everything, and this brother had done his homework. He was asking a lot of good questions, and he asked, well, what do you believe about the gospel? What do you think the purpose of the gospel is? And I went forth and explained unto him what I believed about it, that it's the Spirit of God that makes his people alive. We're saved by the grace of God, and the gospel is instruction for us while we're in this world. And this brother said, well, that's not a very popular belief now, is it? I said, no, sir, it sure isn't, but I believe it to be the truth. You know, and if we put this, try to put this preached word in the place of the living word, we're going to have a lot of confusion. You know, and that's one of the big differences between us and everybody else out there in the religious world. People try to put the written word in the place of the living word, and it gets all fouled up. Well, we need to get everything in the right place, rightly divide the word of truth. Some people think that, well, the preacher has to get to the deep, dark jungles of South America in order for people to be saved. Well, I guarantee you the Spirit of God is able to do a far better job than any man is able to do. You know, I'm thankful for that testimony. We have a brother at Palm Chapel Church that joined the church, and he spent most of his life in Mexico and grew up in Mexico. And the doctrines of grace, they were a welcome balm to his soul, because it gave his grandparents a hope, his grandparents that lived in it or steeped in a false religion. You know, Spirit of God is able to do a much better job than the preacher's able to do a much better job than men can do. And I'm thankful for men that are faithful to preach the gospel and go forth, but it does not do the saving eternally. Wow. Spirit of God does that. And if we confuse the preached word with the living word, or the written word with the living word, we're going to not be giving glory where glory is due. And that's what it comes down to. We need to give God all of the glory. If we're saved, it's by God's grace. You know, it's not the preacher that does it. And I've met dear, I believe, sincere brethren that, you know, they believe they're literally going out and saving men's souls from hell. They believe they're putting jewels in their crowns when they get to heaven. No, God needs all the glory. He's the one that does all of the saving. Sometimes in arguing the fence, well, we have to get the gospel out there. Sometimes people will go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, Peter says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto an unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Verse 23, "being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Sometimes people say, well, this is the proof. You've got to get the word of God out there for people to be born again. Which word are we talking about? Are we talking about living word, written word, or preached word? Well, right here, this gives us a clue. This word here, it lives and abides forever. You know, I'm thankful for the preached word. I'm thankful for men that have stood for the truth in times past. I'm thankful for brethren like your father that stood for the truth for many years. But I want you to understand that men can corrupt this truth from time to time. Men in their flesh can corrupt the word of God. Men can use the word of God deceitfully. Men have perverted this word of God ever since it's been around, pretty much. So he couldn't be talking about the written word. He couldn't be talking about the preached word. What is the word of God that lives and abides forever? That word of God in John chapter 1, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How are we born again? Not by hearing this word, not by grandma or grandpa telling this truth. We're born again by the working of the Lord, by the Spirit of God in our lives. So the born again here is an incorruptible seed. You say, you mean the word of God can be corrupted? Well, I'll tell you this evening that God did not give his word in a corrupt form. Our God is not corrupt. He is all perfect. He is all light. But men do pervert God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul says in verse 14, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish." Verse 16, "To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Notice verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Now, Paul insinuates that there are some men that corrupt the word of God. If you don't believe that the word of God is corrupt, you go up here to your nearest Christian bookstore or go up to your nearest Walmart and go down the inspirational section and notice how many different Bibles there are out there. You know, you're hard-pressed to find a King James Version of the Bible anymore. There are men that have corrupted the word of God. And we need to be careful about that. We need to be careful to teach our children the right Word of God that they're to read out of. You know, you can find all types. They have the Singles Bible, the Married Bible, the New International Revised Bible. They have the Revised New International Revised Bible. We need to teach our children where to seek the truth. Because there are men that corrupt this word of God. Sometimes I believe the devil is at work. I believe that we see some of these new international versions and it's nothing but a new age Bible. I believe that there's a corruption out there. The devil is working to try to completely eradicate the truth of the word of God and working through some of these new perversions to make Satan God and Jesus Christ Satan. And I believe there are also well-intentioned people that have just gone off on the wrong path. But Paul says, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. This word of God can be corrupted. The preaching of the word of God can be corrupted. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Do you know there are some men out there that will handle the word of God deceitfully? And we have to be careful about that. So that tells us that this word can be corrupted, that this word can be handled deceitfully, not of God, but of men. If you don't believe the word of God can be handled deceitfully, again, turn on your television Sunday morning. You know, you have men up there that say, God is giving me special revelation. You know what? A lot of times when God is giving men special revelation, it usually involves me pulling my wallet out. Men handle the word of God deceitfully. But I tell you, that living word, Jesus Christ, he is not corrupt. He has never been deceitful. The Bible says that there was no guile found in his mouth. He is a living word. He's able to reach them that are his. If the preacher never gets to a man, the living word, Jesus Christ, he's able to reach all of them that are his. He knows them that are his. He says, my sheep hear my voice. He says, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He's able to do a far better job than we would ever be able to do. So we need to rightly divide the truth. Living word, the written word, the preached word. Let's get everything in its right category. And Jesus Christ is the living word is indeed incorruptible. And I'm thankful for that. We go to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. Verse 3, he says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. The worlds were framed by the word of God. Do you think our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was there when the world was created, and he created all this beauty and majesty around us, he created the honeybee that Brother Guy was speaking about this morning. You think he got everything just right here in this world? I think he's able to do his work as far as quickening and borning again his people. He doesn't need our help. You know, that's just human nature wanting to puff itself up when it gives itself credit for any type of salvation. We are saved by the grace of God, and I'm thankful for that. The living word, Jesus Christ, he's the living word. He was there in creation. He's there in regeneration. And I want to give you good news this evening. He's going to be coming back one day. I'm thankful for that. That living word, if we get them turned around and we give the credit that goes to the living word, to the written word or preached word, you say, well, what's the big deal in doing that? Well, if we're not casting our confidence in the proper place, we're going to find ourselves in a bad fix when troubles and trials come. Revelation chapter 19, let's turn for just a minute. Revelation chapter 19, John writes in verse 11, he says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Who's this one that's sitting upon the white horse? That's none other than Jesus Christ our Lord. Who's the one that's faithful? Who's the one that's true? Who's the one that's never going to let you down? Who's the one, as we said earlier, never had guile in his mouth? Jesus Christ. He's the one that's faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Verse 12 it says, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. I'm thankful that that living Word of God that was there when the world was created, that was there when you and I were brought from a state of spiritual death into a state of spiritual life, is the same one that's going to be there, come back into this world and call his people home. I'm thankful that he is the victorious Savior. Verse 14 says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. The living Word, Jesus Christ, this was confidence to those saints that were suffering under the persecution of the Roman Empire. It was that Word of God that gave them hope. Remember, they were suffering intensely, and they were crying out, when are you coming back, Lord? There were many of them that they were growing weary along the way, but the confidence they had was in that living Word of God. You know, that's where we need to give all praise and all glory. If the gospel is preached, give praise unto God. You know, if you're able to study and understand anything out of this Word of God, give praise unto the Lord. If you see a heart quickened and touched, and you see the love of the Lord in someone where it once didn't exist, don't give credit to the preacher. Don't give credit to the relatives. Give credit unto God. He's the living Word. You know, one of the questions that you're often, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm oftentimes asked when I teach that it's not of gospel regeneration, but we're quickened by the Spirit of God. They say, well, what's the purpose in preaching the gospel then? Well, the purpose of preaching the gospel, the purpose in going forth and preaching it to other people, doing the work of an evangelist, is to share this good news with those that are out in the world. Those that are God's people that are seeking the truth. You know, it's disheartening as a pastor to see an indifference towards the truth. But the good news is that those that have not been taught the truth, they're a blank slate. As God's touched their heart, I believe if we can preach the truth unto them, I believe that they, you know, it's easier to teach someone than to unteach and reteach. So I believe we have a wonderful opportunity, because a religion that's devoid of the truth of the Word of God, devoid of doctrinal principles, that's not going to satisfy, I believe, a child of God that's been touched by His Spirit. You know, as God's people, we need reproof. We need correction. We need instruction. We need to be reproved from time to time. Paul says to study, to show thyself approved unto God. And as we understand these words of God, it won't hinder those from doing the work of an evangelist. You know, we have the greatest news out there in the whole world, and I believe when the Lord's people understand that, when ministers understand that, you know, my desire is to tell everybody about that good news. That doesn't halt evangelism. It doesn't stunt evangelism. It motivates. You know, I'm thankful for the dear brethren of old that did the work of an evangelist. They understood that this was the precious truth of God, and they desired that God's people would hear that precious truth. And I'm thankful for the sacrifices of the men of old to rightly divide that word of truth and go forth and preach that truth. They were instant in season and out of season. They were faithful to reprove and to rebuke the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the living Word. He deserves all of our glory. He deserves all of our praise. We have the written Word. It gives us understanding. It gives us, you know, God has given us His will. You hear people say, well, I just want to know the will of God. Well, you have it right here. You read it and study it and apply it to your life. You know what God's will is. Not, you know, it's not a big mystery how He wants to live our lives morally. There's an absoluteness in this Word of God. The preached word of God, as we spoke this morning, you know, the preached word of God is not about the entertainment. It's not about a minister getting up and hooping and hollering and slobbering and spitting out something you don't understand. It's about teaching this word of God, teaching the principles that God would have us to live as His people. And if God blesses the preached word to go out, if God blesses you in the study of the written word, give Him praise. Give Him glory. Give glory unto the living Word. It's my prayer that we would rightly divide the Word of truth and give all glory unto God. When we get them in the right place, God is going to bless us. When trials and tribulations come, when we understand that there is a living Word that's incorruptible and undefiled, you know, it gives us strength to make it through whatever trials we go through in this world. It's my prayer that God would bless us in that capacity.